Good morning. Really quickly this morning, I'm going to talk about something very simple, yet very complex. Something very small, yet very powerful. As Christians, what can faith do for us? I think of the FedEx commercial. What can Brown do for you? What can faith do for us? In Mark 5, we see a story sandwiched into the middle of another story that sometimes we overlook. So starting in verse 21 of Mark 5, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see, the people were crowded against him, and his disciples answered, "And yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. When the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembled with fear, told him the whole truth, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This woman has a stubborn faith. If we understand anything about the condition that she has, under Levitical law, she couldn't even be inside the town. She was like a leper. She was an outcast. She had no place within the community. And for years, she has suffered alone, by herself, without anyone around her. But she has this stubborn faith. She's tried everything. For 12 years, she's tried everything. She is bleeding. She is broken. But she believes something could be different. Sometimes something like this happens to us. We're bleeding. We're broken. We've been cast out. But do we believe that it can be different? For 12 years, she has suffered. For 12 years, nothing she has done has helped. She has spent every penny she has. Nothing has helped. But she believes something can be different. She was unclean. She was stepping out just by stepping into town. She was stepping out of what her comfort zone should have been. She was stepping out of where she belonged just by going into town. She does not have scripture. She does not have the word. She does not have a sermon on Sunday telling her what faith can do for her. But she still believes something can be different. She still has enough faith to say something can be different. And she believes that Jesus has the power to intervene in her life. So what does the bleeding woman show us? This little story, a few verses inside of a larger story. What does this bleeding woman tell us? First, how stubborn faith can be. She's tried everything. She's spent every penny. And for 12 years, She couldn't even be in town. Yet she still has a stubborn enough faith to say Jesus can make a difference. Next, what faith can accomplish? It talks about, you know, all these doctors that she's suffered under, everything that she's done to try to fix this problem, and nothing works. What can faith accomplish? And finally, how faith has to reach out. How she has to reach out. It's not good enough just to say, I think he can do it. It's not just good enough to say, maybe Jesus can do something that all these doctors couldn't. It's not just saying, though it's been 12 years, I think something could be different. She reaches out. It starts just by her walking into town. Just by her going where the law says she couldn't. And then, in that crowd, reaching out. She doesn't believe Jesus would turn and heal her. That would make Jesus unclean. For Jesus to come in contact with this woman, he would become unclean. No rabbi would come in contact with her. So she says, if I will just reach out, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, all this can change. You know, what does Scripture tell us that faith can do? New Testament, it says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. How much power does faith have? And to go on from that, to show you another example of what faith can do. Dad, if you'll play that video really quick. This is the man by the name of David Ring from the organization I Am Second. I don't know if you're familiar with this. It's an organization that brings together different people and has them take this pledge saying that no matter what's going on, no matter what position I'm in, I put myself second to Christ. The sound on there, Dad.
Hello, baby. They put my body on a table in the corner and left me for dead. But it's not over until God say it's over. When I was 11 years old, my daddy got sick. 2 weeks later, my dad died with cancer of the liver. When I came along, I'm the baby of eight. And I'm not only the baby of eight. I'm a number one mama baby boy. I love my mama. My mama did everything for me. She fed me. She clothed me. She bathed me, she walked with me and helped me. But one day in my life, my mom got sick when I was 14 years old. The doctor came to my family and said, your mama will never come home again. She had cancer. She had 6 months at the very moment to live. I said, no, my mom will never abandon me. My mom told me, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. But I got down on my knees and prayed, God, don't take mama. God, don't take mama. God, don't take mama. But in October 1968, my mama took a last breath. And when my mom died, I didn't want to live. I wanted to die too. I didn't have one thing to live for. Everywhere I went, people made fun of me. They look at me and they point and call me every name other than my own. He said, look, the boy walk funny. Look, the boy talk funny. I went home every day and got in bed and chilled, rolling down my face. begging to die. I attempted suicide every other day for 2 years. Everybody gave up on me. I gave up on me. One night, I went to church. I didn't want to go to church. I've been to church, but God don't love me. If God love me, why God take away my mama? If God love me, why God pick on me? God don't even like me. But that night, I sat down in a church. Now, I found out. One thing I found out that God does love me. And it's a wonderful blend of my life. I found out that I'm not okay, but that's okay. God loves me just the way I am. And then I came and I gave my life to the Lord. I went back to school after that night. The student body that called me every name other than my own, a public school. They were so dumbfounded. They had to call together an all-school assembly to find out what changed my life. And I said, student body, I'm not the same anymore. I've been changed. I gave my life to God. I don't want to die anymore. I want to live. Why? Because I got something worth living for. They voted me to be the most popular boy in the student body. I became popular where I gave my life to God.
All right, if you go ahead and stop that right there. So, David Ring, he's born dead. Being a stillborn child, he develops cerebral palsy. He loses his mother, he loses his father, and he doesn't want to live. And he says that in God, he finds a reason to live. I had the wonderful opportunity at Lipscomb to listen to Mr. Ring speak. And he said something that really struck me. And in what he said, I saw the continuation of the story of the bleeding woman. He says, "Now I have a wife and 4 children, and I call myself blessed." He said, "Everyone has something to overcome. Everyone has a story, and that story is, I am blessed." Then he said something that really struck me. He said, "I have cerebral palsy, but thank God, cerebral palsy don't have me." You know, as we go through life, we look at the story of this bleeding woman, and for 12 years, this controls her. For 12 years, this determines where she can go, who she can be around, what she can do. She is living in her own personal hell. And what would David say to that? He would say, "You have this problem. You have this bleeding that has destroyed your life, but thank God it doesn't have you." So what's the difference? What's the difference there? All of us, as we go through life, different challenges we're faced with. Whether it's sin, whether it's pain, whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression, I have blank, but thank God it doesn't have me. Because of that faith, because of that power, Whatever we go through, no longer does it control us. You know, David Ring has been through just about as much as any human being can. And he says, while I have cerebral palsy, while I've been through this, it doesn't have me. It doesn't control me. It doesn't determine who I am. Because God says, that's not you. I have power over that. So while you may have that, while you may have that struggle, while you may have that problem, it doesn't have you. I do. So what do we have to overcome? As we go through our life, what is it that we have? In the case of the bleeding woman, she has this problem that's controlled her life, that's destroyed her life. In the case of David, time and time again, his life has been shattered. He says, that doesn't control me, because God does. So, our choice is, do we say that cerebral palsy controls me? Or do we say, I have cerebral palsy, but God controls me? And that's our choice. With our faith, that is our option. It could have been very easy for him to say, this controls me. This is me. This has me in the palm of its hand, and there's nothing I can do about it. But he says, no. And not only that, he goes on to say, we all have a story, and I have a story, and that is, I am blessed. I am blessed. What faith does it take to stand there in his situation and say, I am blessed? You know, in the words of one of the greatest institutions to ever grace the silver screen, VeggieTales, it says, you were lying in your bed, you were feeling kind of sleepy, but you couldn't close your eyes because the room was getting creepy. Were those eyeballs in the closet? Was that Godzilla in the hall? There was something big and hairy casting shadows on your wall. Now your heart is beating like a drum and your skin is getting clammy. There's 100 tiny monsters jumping right into your jammies. Bob, what are you going to do? Junior, I'm going to call the police. Bob, no, you don't have to do anything. Junior, wait, what? Bob, because God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the boogeyman. And he's watching out for you and me. And it's silly, and it's funny, but it's true. But it's true. So, what does David and the woman teach us about faith? God is big enough. God is bigger than the boogeyman and the monsters on TV. He's bigger than David's cerebral palsy. He's bigger than the woman's bleeding. He's bigger than whatever the struggle we have is. So the question is, are we going to have a stubborn faith like the woman and like David? Are we going to have a stubborn faith? A faith that says, I know I've tried it all. I know that it seems like this couldn't get better. but I know it will. And like the woman, and like David, is our faith strong enough to reach out? Will it reach out? You know, we see what the woman does as she goes into town, as she takes that step. And then another. And she goes where she doesn't belong. She steps out of where she's been told she should stay. And then she reaches out. And it's in that moment that her faith makes all the difference. So, if you haven't had an opportunity to come to the God who is bigger than the boogeyman or the monsters on TV, and you want to be a part of that. You want the God who will control you, who will take you, who will hold you, so that what you have doesn't have you. If you want a part of that, or you just need the prayers of this church, will you come while we stand and sing?